Hey guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today in the studio, we have an amazing actress, somebody who I know y'all gonna recognize. She's been in everything from The Division, ER, Third Watch, High Incident, Being Mary Jane, where she starred opposite Gabrielle Union, and so many more. She has been in the industry as an actress for over 45 years. Years. Isn't that impressive? She's starting, you don't even look 45, so that seems it. But you started young, you started super young, so that makes sense. You are an absolute inspiration. I'm so honored to have you today on the show. Welcome to the show, award-winning actress Lisa Vidal.
Aw, thank you.
We need to insert thank applause you, there, because you are just such a star. From the minute I met you, I was like, wow. Like, I knew I recognized you. You know, you have those like moments where like, I've seen her in something, but your soul is just so moving. You're such a beautiful, beautiful woman. Oh. And you have such an amazing story. And I know today is going to change someone's life.
Oh my goodness. Look who's talking. First of all, hello. The moment I met you, I was just like, oh my God, I need to know this woman. She's like so powerful, so beautiful. The first and foremost from your inside, because your beauty radiates out and then you're beautiful on the outside. So I was like, oh yeah, I want all of her to be my friend.
Thank you,
Mama. So yes, 100%. Oh my God. And thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Always.
And yes, I am. Don't try to guess my age, but I'm proud of it. I'm like, listen, I did a post on my Instagram. I was like, 60. Yes, baby.
You're not.
Yes, I am.
You are not.
I'm proud of it. I've earned every wrinkle on this.
You don't look it.
I had three kids.
Look amazing.
I love you.
You look 40. You.
I'm proud of it.
I wouldn't have said more than 40. I thought it was only it. Like a few. I was like, she's 40.
Okay, so let's start again. I'll say I'm 40.
I love it. No, but you know what? I think owning our age is everything.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Like, when you look good and you are looking after yourself, looking after your body, it's just a number.
That's right.
Whether you're super young or super old. Like,
that's right.
You know, me and my partner have a 10-year age gap. And like, I love that.
Yeah.
You're like,
wow, that's fuck. Nice.
Like, he's like,
you're doing good, girl.
Yeah. Age is nothing but a number.
You're absolutely
and I
right.
own it. My parents are also 10 years apart, same way. Like, yeah. That is so yeah. normal when your mom is like amazing and she looks good. She's going to have like a hot man. Like,
I mean, you know, my man is still hot too. We've been together for now, what? God, 40 years.
He's been with you the whole journey.
40 years. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're celebrating now 41 years together.
Congratulations.
36 years in January married, 3 kids. So, yeah, we were college sweethearts. We met a long time ago.
You did.
But yeah. But you know what? What you said, I want to like say something about what you said, that, you know, it really is just a number, and it truly is about your spirit inside and how you choose to love and live life and bring that forward and find the joy in your life and yes. positivity in your yes. life, because that absolutely not only manifests throughout your body, mm-hmm. but it radiates outside.
Amen.
And I think that that's mostly, honestly, I think that's why I still like, you know, like present what you said. I'm gonna go with what she said. She said 40. All right, I'm good with that.
You look amazing, for real. Okay, so look, thank let's you. Start with your acting, because there's so much to talk about today. When was the calling? Like, at what point did you wake up and go, I'm a star and I'm gonna be an actress? Because I don't know, did you know you were gonna be this famous? Did you know you were gonna become this huge star? Or like,
yeah,
at what point did you
you know, when I was a kid, when I was little, I was always that kid that was like, Mom, I can sing. And my mother would be like, oh yeah, you can sing. I was like, Mom, I could cry. Watch. Right? And I was just that kind of a kid. I was always entertaining the family, whether it was like doing some dramatic little monologue or
that
singing and
so
dancing.
Cute.
Yeah, I was oh always that way. And so I remember I was very, very young, very young. And my aunt took me to go see Funny Girl in the theaters with Barbara Streisand. And I saw Barbara up there dancing and singing and doing. I was like, I want to do that. I'm going to be that. That's who I'm going to be. And I was wow. so young. And it was like just in me. It was like your previous guest said, Stevie Mackey, it was in him. And it was like, this is who I have to be.
Wow.
And it's like that, right? I am a creative soul, and we are all creative souls. That's my creativity, right? Acting, singing, performing.
I love
to emote emotion and tell stories.
I love this for you. Well, I feel it through everything you do. And we're going to talk about your podcast later because, I mean, you've got this whole show now. Okay, so in your acting career, what has been your favorite role that you've played?
Jeez, that's a tough question.
I always give people that. And that wasn't from ChatGPT, y'all. That was just, people always ask me, like, what do you know what you're asking? I do absolutely no research. I go and do one bio check before I start just to, like, pinpoint the things because I genuinely just feel this calling of, like, knowing. If I already know who they are anyway, it's easier. So then I'm like, I just feel this calling of, like, what to ask. So my questions are always just from the soul. Like,
oh, I love that. I love that. You know, I have a few different characters that I love. First of all, I love playing strong women who are powerful. They're resilient and yet they're vulnerable.
Wow.
I love, because that's who we really are as human beings.
Right.
But as women, as mothers, as leaders in our home, mm-hmm. as leaders in our work, you know, we also have this very vulnerable side to us that can be sometimes very broken. Mm. And we kind of coexist, right? Mm. Our power, our strength, and our brokenness. Mm. And so I love playing characters like that. To me, that's so much more interesting. Mm. It's never one note. It's always multidimensional. Yes. And so I loved playing Magdalena, and I like it like that. She was like the street girl, and she was like, that's my man. And then I loved playing the cop, you know, on High Incident, Jessica Helgado, who was like a badass. She was from New York, and, you know, she just believed in the rightness of life.
Wow.
And then I loved playing, you know, Kara on Being Mary Jane opposite Gabrielle Union, where she was a boss lady and she was a badass, but she was suffering in her home life and struggling in her, you know, broken marriage and trying to raise her kids and do a great job. And then, you know, Third Watch, I played, you know, an amazing ER doctor opposite Michael Beach. And then ER, I played this, you know, gay firefighter paramedic woman who was looking for love and falls in love with Laura Innes's character. I've played many different characters, but I think the essence of them always has that strength, power, and vulnerability, and sometimes real brokenness. And I love playing characters like that.
I love this for you. This is so good. So you just get to, like, become them. Do you find with acting, and I've heard this from some of the biggest producers in the world who've been on the show, and they said, it's not about you becoming that character. It's about you being yourself in them.
I think it's a combination of that, right?
Right.
Because sometimes I think every character an actor plays, there's a piece of them in them. Of course, this is your version of this character.
Right.
What does Lisa Vidal bring to this character that maybe, you know, Eva Longoria might bring to the character in a different way, right? It's mm-hmm. just we all have this different spirit, this different essence, this different version of ourselves that will be in the character.
Mm-hmm.
The things that might be different, right? Sometimes it's like, let's say you're playing a murderer. Let's say you're playing, you know, a street person. Let's say you're playing a doctor, right? There's always going to be some version of you in there, but there are those things that are not you, mm-hmm. right? So you build on those things.
Right.
And my acting teacher used to say, sometimes you build from the outside.
Ooh.
Right. So maybe there's a hat this character
yes.
wears, or there's a piece of jewelry this character wears, or there's, you know, or maybe this character has like a little limp, or this character like
right.
bites her nails,
or chews on a stick.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are
yeah.
things I don't do. Right.
Right.
But
right.
that's that version of that character that
wow.
doesn't necessarily belong to me.
Right. Right. Right.
But I create. That's part of the creation of the character and that piece of myself that I bring. It's the as if, so to speak,
that's so
as if I were that character, living this character's life.
So from The Division to being Mary Jane, you've played so many strong, layered women. I mean, you know, the way you talk about it now, the way I'm like listening to it. How do you prepare to embody such powerful roles while keeping them authentic?
Mm. So I think I always try to create the life before. It's called the life before. Before the character even hits the screen, that character has had a life, right? What was that character's childhood like? What were their likes, their dislikes? You know, what are their beliefs? Why? You know, we're all rounded by our environment. We're all kind of created by what we're exposed to, right? So what might I want to imagine if it's not, let's say, a real life character?
Yeah.
What might I want to imagine this character's life was like? And why does she think this way? Why does she react this way, right? Because I could be like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Or I could be like, oh my God, yeah, you're so beautiful. Right? So there's a, ooh, what was that, right? There's a take on everything. And so I try to create that life before and have some history to come from. And then in every scene that there is in your character's life that presents on stage or on television or on film, there's a moment before. What created this reaction in this scene? That what was I going through before that? Back me up. As an actor, you need to know those things. You need to create that life for your character if it's not already on the page for you to read and to, you know, create. You need to create that, right? And so I think that all those things together, right, working, whether it is from the outside in, whatever your process is, or it's from the inside out, mm-hmm. like, you're putting all of that together, and then there's this life, right? And everything that comes out of your mouth is going to come from that place.
Wow.
And the thoughts and the thinking and the reactions and the whys. And so that's pretty much the process, you know. And then, I mean, listen, if you're playing like period characters, you need to know, mm-hmm. what was this person living in? Mm-hmm. Who are my friends? And what do other people in the play, so to speak, mm-hmm. say about me?
Mm-hmm.
We need to know this, right? Because it creates this I am identity. This is who I am.
Wow. I could listen to this all day about acting. It's so interesting. Do you think that life experience has shaped the way that you play roles? As in, you've been through a lot, and I want to talk about your story right now, actually. But do you think that the things you've been through come into the emotion of the roles that you play?
100%. 100%. I mean, I'm a Puerto Rican Latina living in New York City, so I'm going to go through a lot of stuff. But in my own personal life, you know, absolutely, I've had many challenges and things that I had to work through and push through. And those things absolutely create a sensitivity in my own heart. I don't think you can be a powerful enough, effective actor if you don't learn to be empathetic, compassionate,
my gosh,
patient. All these things, right? And look at the world, look at a human being in a certain way. Have like this heart for them. Like I think in my world, in my life, I say God allowed me to go through certain things so that I can have that heart to play these characters, to know that emotion, to have something to pull from. I'm a mother, so, you know, going through all that, I have so much richness in me that I can share and put into a character, so that when you watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, I get that. Oh my God, she understands. Oh, how did that person, I went through that, you know, there's all of that that happens, right? And I don't think I could emote that. I don't think I could play that if I didn't experience some sense of some of it, you know, or to an extent be able to be compassionate about it so that I can understand it enough to relate to it, to embody it.
Wow, such an interesting thing. Okay, so I'm going to switch this now into something that you're really passionate about, something that your entire podcast is about, addiction. You are a leading advocate, a voice, a spokesperson for addiction, and you have been through so much with your own story. Let's start there. What led you to being a advocate for talking and helping people through addiction?
Well, you know, unfortunately, addiction runs rampant in my family, and it's been something that's been a part of my life from day one.
For you personally?
For me personally. Right. Well, not me as an addict, but people in my family.
Right, right, right.
And so that right there kind of shapes you in a way that, you know, there's behaviors that you recognize or understand that maybe someone who hasn't been through that doesn't understand or recognize or is alerted to, right? So so in my life, you know, I was always terrified of that. And when I was in high school, I remember I've never even smoked pot. I never smoked weed because I was so scared. No, I'm going to become an addict. You know, no, I can't try that. I'm like probably the cleanest one of the cleanest people.
Because you knew.
Because I knew how scary it could be and how scary it could get. And so, you know, with my kids, when I got married and, you know, and I was always careful about my drinking. And when I got married, I had three kids, and I was always like talking to them about drugs and the effect of drugs and this and that. But and let me back it up a little bit. Like, I absolutely had this idea of family. Mm-hmm. I absolutely, you know, my husband and I are both such deeply rooted in families. We love our families. We come from great families despite, you know, certain issues and things like that. Like, you love your family, right? And so I always had this idea of like, I want to be, you know, an involved mom. I want to shower my children with beautiful things and live in a beautiful home and do fun things. Mm-hmm. We skied, we went on vacations. I best schools for my kids and education and music and arts and love and you know, and so that's absolutely what I was creating in my world. And then my oldest son, Scott Cohen, he was a phenom soccer player. We became this soccer family. My husband coached his team, coached him all the time. And it was just such a vibrant time in my life. And I just treasured all the memories of like my kids being little. And then when he was about 16, he was at a tryout for a junior Olympic program, and he got badly injured, very badly injured, broke several bones in his leg, and they did surgery, and the team doctors put him on oxy. And we had no idea what that drug was. We didn't understand how addictive it was. I thought, you know, sure, painkiller. They've given painkillers to me before, like, I had no idea. And he was only, you know, 16 years old. And but what I noticed, and by the way, that became, I always say the beginning of the end, because it became a drug battle for him for 11 years and for our family. And I remember noticing at a certain point when, and I was monitoring how, when he had to take, you know, the oxy for his pain, and I was always watching, and I remember at one point he grabbed it from my hand, the bottle, and he was like, I'm gonna do it, I want to do it. And I said no, you're not. I what are you doing? No, I'm monitoring, and I just tell you when it's time to take. He said, no, I don't need you to do that, Mom. And we got into it, and literally it was a wrestle, and I took it from him finally, and he was angry, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh my God. Like, it just bothered me. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. And it was in that moment, when I look back, that I knew he was hooked. I knew it was, something was not right. He healed, and it was a really difficult thing because he wasn't able to play. And he kept getting down on himself, and he went into a depression, and it was just so bad. And then it was time for him to go to college, and we sent him off to college, and he didn't even make it through a full semester. He came back a full-blown addict, and we had to bring him home. And that began the journey of doctors and rehabs and psychiatrists.
What was the drug of?
It was oxy at first, and then it became heroin. Mm-hmm. And my poor baby, he became unrecognizable. I mean, and it was bad. It was bad. He became a version of himself that I just never thought was possible.
Well, it wasn't him. It was the drugs.
It was the drugs. And he became very sick, and it changed our whole family. And it was in and out of rehabs and I was running out of money. It was so expensive, and insurance company issues, and they wouldn't cover certain things, and they wouldn't cover certain rehabs, and you know, my son was violent outbursts. I had to have him 5150'd several times, and he got arrested a few times, and I had to rush him to hospitals. He was started injecting his legs, and I mean, if you can imagine something so beautiful becoming so distorted and so awful, and it was just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? But I was very, very rooted in my faith and church, and I would try to bring him to church with me, and I just would talk to him about the Lord, and I kept telling him, God has a plan for you. This is not your plan. This is not your plan. You will fight this. You will get through this. And it was like that. It was like, I was just kind of like really trying to get that through him, you know? And he would say, Mommy, I'm trying so hard, and I want to live. Because he would call me all the time. I'd be on the set of Being Mary Jane. He'd be calling me with a suicide call. And Mom, I'm going to drive my car off a mountain. I'm going to drive off Mulholland Drive. And I was just like, freak out. I'm on set. And I was like, I need to stop. I'm sorry. I got to take this call. And it was like that, you know, and talk him off the mountain and things. And so anyway, it was horrible. And then he had just recently come out of rehab, and you know, we got him his own apartment, and he was rapping at the time. He was recording music, and he was an incredibly talented writer as well. And then I was out of town. My husband and I were out of town, and he was in his apartment, and he shot himself. And he took his own life. And man, was I mad at God. I was mad at him too. I was mad at everybody. I was mad at everything. I was broken. That broke me. I was like, God, you didn't let me say goodbye to my baby. I was so mad. It was hard. It's hard. It's been 4.5 years now. I always cry, and I have to let that out. That's part of the healing. But now I'm taking that, and I'm talking about it because I want to help other people. I want to make other people aware that addiction is a disease, and it's not something to be ashamed of. It's something that we have to address. It's something that we have to realize people need help with. There are good people. It doesn't have faces. Doesn't make you a bad person. So I'm talking about it now, you know, and it's hard, but I do it. I have to do it, you know. It's like I think it's why he came here. It's why I was his mom. It's why I have a platform to talk about it.
For sure.
And so I'm turning my pain into purpose. My friend Nancy Davis asked me to join Cure Addiction Now, and we're doing a podcast called Two Mamas Who Can, that you were on.
It's so fun.
So yeah.
And you're like helping so many people.
That's what I want to do. It's the only way to move forward for me in this incredibly painful journey.
How long ago was that?
This was 4.5 years ago.
But it feels like yesterday.
It does.
Right.
It does.
But tell me some of the work that you've done, because you've helped so many addicts and people who've been through so much because of your story.
Well,
and I feel like God puts us through things that we have to go through so that we can inspire others.
Correct.
Like, he doesn't put your average Joe Schmo through something who's not going to be able to share it. Yes, they go through things. And hopefully nobody listening is just your average Joe Schmo. But what I'm saying is God puts you through things that you're meant to share. I know I got sick years ago so that I would be able to share my healing journey. Correct. So that I'd be able to share that low, that rock bottom with the world, so that I could share the addiction I had and the things I went through to be able to be who I am today. And like you, there's no way that you would lose a child. It's not meant to be that way round.
No.
You taught me that. You said you're not meant to bury your child. My mom buried my sister, so I it really like hits home for me.
Yeah. And you as a sibling.
Yeah. Me too. I buried her too. So, I say all that to say, like, you've been through something so heart wrenching, the most heart wrenching thing I think on planet Earth, and you've been able to transform that and transcend it into the most positive, amazing, inspirational platform. And you now speak about it. You're now everywhere. People turn to you and need you as that voice because you're strong and you're empowering and you're motivating and you can get up there and turn your pain into purpose.
Right. It's something. It's how I feel about, like, you know, acting and music. I have to.
Right. Right.
I can't. I've never been a person anyway, right? Like, I kind of, once you meet me, like, you know, oh yeah, now I know Lisa. I don't have secrets. Like, I'm not
right,
that person. So
right.
for this, I have to talk about
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
I have to. My son did not come here for nothing.
No, no.
He was not born for nothing. And he was incredible. And so I'm going to honor him by doing this, by talking about it, by saying to people, speak up.
Yes.
If you have something wrong, talk to somebody. Mothers, fathers, aunties, cousins, friends, everybody, pay attention. Because someone has an illness, because someone gets caught up in something, they didn't ask to have the addiction gene. There's usually trauma attached to it. Something really bad happened, or there's something in their early life that happened. And this is an illness. It's a person in pain. Right. It doesn't make a person right. a bad, evil, horrible person.
Right.
Does it make people do bad things sometimes? Yes, because it's an illness, it's sickness.
Right.
And usually it is because they need help. It's a cry, right? So I am determined to use my platform to get down and dirty and have the hard conversations.
And you do.
And I am willing to crack open my heart and speak the truth. Because this is something in our country that is ignored by so many. We walk by it. We don't want to hear about it. That family member, don't invite them. Don't talk to them. Don't be around them. Don't hang out with them. You know, I can understand that to a certain extent in the sense of, like, certain situations, right? Because my son would act out at times and it was bad. It got bad. But we can't ignore the person and the problem.
Right.
We must turn over every stone as a society to find the fix, to find the help, to find the solution and the answer.
Yes.
And not ignore it, not just abominate them to hell, which I feel after everything I've gone through, like with insurance companies, doctors, rehabs, so many full of shit money grabs, and, you know, dishonest avenues of sobriety and, you know, mental health and suicide that are not effective. And so what are we doing about that?
Right.
It's not effective. Why are we just saying, well, he tried, she tried, or we went and it didn't work? Well, that's not good enough. In my book, that's not good enough. We are not addressing the problem as a whole from the very beginning.
Mm.
And there are so many avenues I could go and roads I could go down that get deep down and dirty. We need another one for
we
that
need a
one.
Whole other
we
episode
need a whole other
for
one
this.
For that one. But the other thing that happens is that you become very unafraid. I'm like, the worst thing in the world has already happened to me. So what you think of me, what you say about me, I don't really care. I'm not afraid. I'm going to talk.
Amen.
I'm going to say what I got to say.
If you were to wave a magic wand and just change the world, change the way society is, where would you see it 3 years from now?
In my own life or society itself? I would say, well, I mean, for all of us, I want to see a society that not only cares deeply, but we take a call to action to do something, which means the whole dynamic of how insurance companies work, drug companies work, protecting this country, you know, involving drugs and the selling of drugs, the black and brown neighborhoods, especially, you know, shit, liquor stores. I'm gonna go deep, you know, programs, government. Mm-hmm. I just think as a whole, I always say, don't make me president. Because I know what I would do. And
you'd be a great president, Queen. You would be what we need. We love you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I would see this society that's incredibly empathetic, compassionate, powerful, strong, with proper boundaries, proper love, proper guidelines, proper rules, like all these kinds of things.
My final question, yes. If you could be sitting here, and we're going to do this again because we have more to talk about. If you were sitting here with one person, living or dead, and you could ask them anything, who would it be and what would you ask them?
It would be Jesus.
I've had that said before and I love that. Yes,
it
I
would
really
absolutely
love that.
Be my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. It would be Jesus. And I wouldn't ask the question, why? I would ask the question, what do I do? How do I fix this? What do I do? Tell me what to do.
Amen.
Because I want to do it.
Amen.
That would be it right there. Sorry.
Thank you for such a beautiful. No, I love it. This has been the most emotional show ever. And I'm so happy because you opened my heart. And I know someone today you've saved the life of and you've helped. You are so inspirational. Thank you for sharing such a deep story. I look forward to seeing you in another movie and another TV thing.
Yes,
I look forward to showing the world your amazingness and everything you're doing. And now I can see why you're such a good actress, because you have real emotion and things you've been through. And you're not really acting. You're actually just showing who they are through you, and or who they you are through them, and it's very, very, very powerful. You are such an amazing, empowered woman, and oof, you have me so emotional today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. You're incredible. Where can everybody find you? Thank you.
I am on Instagram. I'm at The Real Lisa Vidal on X, Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. I'm The Lisa Vidal. And then on Facebook, I'm just Lisa Vidal.
And your podcast, Two Mamas Who Can.
Two Mamas Who Can.
We'll put the link below. So for anybody
yes,
who
two
is
mamas who can.
In an environment of pain, suffering, addiction, been through it, knows someone who's going through it, has a family member going through it, whatever it is, tune in.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank
we
you for
love
having
you.
Me. Thank you, my
tune
love.
Tune in to Lisa and we'll see you guys again next week.
Adios.
Ciao.